Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the full year results 2017 of SFC Energy AG conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty seeing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Dr. Peter Podesser, CEO of SFC Energy AG, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Judith, for the introduction. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our earnings call on the audited consolidated figures for 2017. And as a second topic, we also want to lead you through our forecast and our outlook for the year of 2018. As usual, together with my colleague Gerhard Inninger, we will lead you through some of the highlights, the detailed business topics, and naturally the detailed financials. If we look back on 2017, I think we could put this under a motto which we would call promise and deliver. We see sales at a record level, at the record level, as well as earnings. On the sales side, we achieved a revenue of about 54 million euros compared to 44 in the year before. And if we look into the profitability, and I think that's a step change here for the company and also for the industry, we see a positive swing of about 4 million on EBITDA, as well as EBIT level here on an operational, from an operational perspective. So we achieved a positive adjusted EBITDA of 1.45 million euros and respectively also a positive adjusted EBIT of 177,000 euros. The guidance and the look into 2018, we see here consistent increase in sales, and we think that setting a corridor of 60 to 64 million is a challenging but still achievable framework we want to operate in within this fiscal year. And again, together with this and through this, establish sustainable profitability means significantly improved numbers for EBITDA and EBIT. And I think with the history we all have building up this company, for the sake of clarity, we have to emphasize we are talking here positive numbers. If we now look into the business structure of 2017, as mentioned, we generated a sales of about 54 million. It marks an increase by about 23% compared to last year, and this is, I'd say, well in excess of the overall market growth. The significant drivers here, the main areas that are responsible for the positive development, is really a growth in all core markets. Oil and gas, industrial applications, as well as the defense and government business. Before I go into the numbers of the individual segments, let me make you aware of some structural changes and some changes in the reporting format. With this step in growth in 2017, we have also adapted our structures here better to the market needs and better to the market and develop a better market fit. And therefore, from January 1, 2018, the segments have been reorganized and increased from 3 to 4. Based on this, we will report and we will divide, or we have divided, business activities into the segments of clean energy and mobility, defense and security, oil and gas, and industry. The main reasons for this change is A, the successful business development here in our industrial fuel cell and power electronics business, as well as in the defense and security market, but also an increasing need here for transparency, especially in our biggest segment. If we now see businesses, industrial fuel cells, power electronics, and defense and security, they have been reported in one segment called security and industry so far. Power electronics, as well as defense and security, will represent separate segments in the future called industry, as well as defense and security. And we will summarize and we will report our fuel cell business for industrial users and end consumers in the segment clean energy and mobility. The reporting of the first quarter 2018 is already including the new segment report. Now back to business. Starting with oil and gas, we have seen a rising investment activity in the oil and gas industry. There's a recovery of the oil price. Today we are looking at a price range between $65 and $70. We saw a rising activity not only on day-to-day business, but also new projects coming online, which we had seen for, I can say, years. During the crisis in 2015 and 16, they started to materialize in 2017, and it really started to get going at a price level of above $45. So with the relative stability of the oil price right now where it is, we feel also comfortable here for the ongoing year. Numbers, business grew by 26.8% year on year from 19.3 million to approximately 24.5 million. It is also worthwhile to mention, and I guess some of you might recall, we discontinued a low margin product line in our oil and gas business in 2017, at the beginning of 2017. So if we compare the proper product revenue, comparable product revenue, we can even see a growth year on year of approximately 58%. Fastest growing segment, our off-grid energy segment here, the EFOY-based business in our oil and gas segment. Let's look into the security and industry segment, and which was, as mentioned previously, the largest segment comprising the three elements here, industrial business, fuel cells, power electronics, as well as defense and security. Again, a consistent growth of 25.1% to 26.4 million revenue after 21 million last year. We see a driver here in the demand for reliable, innovative off-grid energy solutions. Worthwhile to mention here is surveillance business with private customers, with commercial customers, but also government customers, but also the wind industry. Power electronics, robust as before, a year-on-year growth of 19%, and more important to see and worthwhile to note, we are not talking only scaling the business with the existing customer base, it's significantly already new customer business that is deriving from our new product platform that we introduced some time back here on a semi-standardized modular basis, and this starts to bear fruits here on the in industrial electronics. Fuel cells, as said before, driver here, really surveillance and backup solutions also for the wind industry, a plus of 34% on fuel cells only in the industrial segment. Coming to the defense and security segment, I think we can say that 2017 marks a milestone and a change also in terms of having established the fuel cell as a sustainable, reliable, and independent energy supply here for defense organizations, both nationally and internationally. And we all know and we all recognize this is happening now after a significant period of testing, but also then finally, successful technical qualification, and this sets us apart here from any potential competition in terms of clearing and entry hurdles into this market. We want to show, or we want to talk examples. Very pleased to mention the inroad into the Indian market in a considerable speed with a very reliable and professional local partner. First product deliveries also through the UK here for vehicle APUs, and naturally, last but not least, breakthrough in Germany, where at the end of last year we were awarded a contract here worth 3.6 million, which is covering the initial need here for portable energy supplies here for specialized forces. Altogether, not only this contract, but the successes nationally and internationally confirm the trust into our product capabilities for the most challenging and the toughest environment of all users. And as said, it's strengthening our leading position as a provider here of reliable off-grid power here in the defense segment. Going down to the consumer segment, as anticipated and expected, but also to make it clear, we are not naturally happy with it, but we had to recognize and realize that some significant changes in user habits in our former core segment of caravan reduced the demand for off-grid power here in this sub-segment, and therefore we are reflecting this in our numbers with a slight decrease. Numbers are down by about 200,000 here year on year. What is the change in user habits? We are seeing throughout Europe a different environment in terms of security, and security concerns by users, by campus, make them, again, use more often consolidated campgrounds, firm campgrounds, instead of staying off-grid for a couple of days. So the maximum duration we are seeing right now in terms of off-grid needs is 1 to 2 days, and then people go back to the campgrounds out of simply security concerns. And for 1 to 2 days, in many cases also a battery will do it. So we saw this subsegment reduced here by simply changing market conditions. But at the same time, the need and the demand for auxiliary power units for clean zero emission APUs is increasing on a broad front, and partially this is driven by the mega trend of e-mobility here as an auxiliary power unit also for vehicles of this type, but also different applications here depending on the consumer group. So overall, I think we are in this segment as a growth platform for all types of clean onboard electricity supply, well positioned after 10 years of development and 10 years of experience, and therefore we are convinced of the future viability of this business segment. The end user groups might change, but the functionality of an onboard power supply will not change. With this, I would like to hand over to Gerhard, who leads you through the financials.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, the figures we are announcing today are the same as we announced on February 8th, so no change during the audit, and that's always a good thing. Let me talk a little bit about our gross profit, our gross margin. In total, the gross margin on the group improved from 13.2 million to 17.7 million in percentage. We managed to come from round about 30% to 32.6%. So it's not natural that you increase your gross margin when you have increased sales, because sometimes you have to pay for the gross margin, not in this case. Looking on the individual segments, oil and gas could improve its gross margin from 22.8 to 23.8, combined with a strong growth in revenue. So I think that's a good move. And of course, we want to improve more, especially as Peter mentioned before, that we got rid of, or that we canceled this not so high margin product group, and of course want to improve our EFOI contribution in the sales, which helps definitely on the gross margin. On security and industries, we improved from 36.9 to 40.9. That's plus 4%. Of course, very helpful was a bigger portion of defense revenue, which definitely is the big driver in the margin. On consumer, even if the revenue is almost the same or a little bit less than last year, we managed to keep our gross margin and even improve it a little bit from 29 to 32%. So I think that's a good move and a good basis to come back on track with the revenues we had a couple of years ago. Yeah, that's the plan definitely. On the companies, very positive is that the SFC improved its gross margin based on higher defense business, as I just mentioned. And this is almost from 37 to 46%. But in total, the positive thing is that we improved from 30.1 to 32.6%. And of course, we're doing a lot of things to improve the gross margins in the future. PBF, our Dutch company with the Romanians, very active, weekly tracing of the gross margin and even running after the little amounts because this makes the music. On Cymag, as said before, focus on all product groups, but of course especially on the one with the higher margin. And here on SFC, we're doing a lot on the margins, on the prices, so that we really get paid for what we deliver. Let me change to our results or give you an overview on the results. As Peter mentioned before, almost all, and these are at least four figures, all improved by around about 4 million. Our EBIT, and we are close to come to the zero point from minus 4.9 to minus 885. On the underlying result, we managed to come from minus 4 million to plus 177. What is in our underlying result on the EBIT? There is in the expense for the stock option appreciation rights. Last year we had an income because the price was going down. But of course this year we had to increase the accrual because the share price moved from beginning of 27 around about 2 euros to 6 euros at the end of the calendar year 2017. And so we had to pay this with around about 500 expense on the stock option appreciation rights. Then we had last time the impairment of intangible assets on Cymag. That's the regular amortization. This was last time, as I said. All is written off on that. That's also around about 500K. And then we had 100K in severance, or you can call it a retention bonus, so that at least the difference between the ordinary EBIT and the underlying EBIT was 1.1 million, and the same situation on the EBITDA. Here we improved, and that was the first step on the results, and I think I mentioned this in a previous call, that we moved from on the regular EBIT from minus 2.5 in the fiscal year 2016 to plus 862 in 2017, and looking on the underlying EBITDA, and here we only have a difference of 600K from the retention, 100K and 500 from the source, from minus 2.5 million to plus 1.5 million. And that's, for me, that's the biggest step we did. Of course, the revenue growth is good, but we also have to deliver, and this is a clear sign that we delivered. So from minus 2.5 to plus 1.5. That's on the result. The last figure in our P&L, the total result moved from minus 5 million to minus 2 million. And of course, it's one of the next targets. First of all, to stabilize the positive results on the EBIT and the EBITDA. But second, of course, also come to a positive, how we call it, Konzernjahresergebnis, means the total result in the P&L. Let me give you a quick overview of what happened on our balance sheet between end of 2016 and December 31, 2017. Looking on the short-term assets, we increased from 20 million to 21.8 million. And that's my favorite position because this is based on the cash position, which increased from 1.8 to 4.4 million. So this makes the 2.5 where we are higher. The other assets, short-term assets, not so big movements, of course a little bit less, not of course, but we managed to have a little bit less debts, accounts receivables, because of we strengthen our cash collection, always try to be on top of that. Yeah, money needs to come in. On long-term assets, from 13.7 down to 12.6 million. This is based on the amortization and the depreciation we did. There was no impairment this year, means an extraordinary write-off. We did, of course, impairment testing on the assets PBF, financial asset PBF and financial asset Cymoc. This gave us high level of comfort, and therefore on German GAAP we could write back the amortization we did on PBF in the prior years, around about 5 million. This is now, so we increased in the German GAAP HGB financial statements, we increased the book value again by 5 million. Unfortunately, this is not possible in IFRS. Here you have to stick with the amortized values. On the liabilities and equity, short term improved or increased from 13.3 to 18.5. This is a plus of 5 million, and this is purely based on the loan we received in August 2017. It's the Harvard loan, as we said. This is the difference on the short term liabilities. On the other hand, on the long-term liabilities, we increased by 5 million, and this is based on two pillars. One is the loan, 2 million, which we paid back from the 5 million we received, and furthermore, the conversion of the convertibles. This is around about 3 million. At the end of the year, it was a little bit lower than 3 million. I will talk about this in a second. So minus 5 million on the long term, so that our liabilities are plus minus zero if you add long term and short term. And positive effect on our equity, where we improved from 13.3 to 13.9 million, so a plus of around about 600K. And this is combined from the result I mentioned before, minus 2 million, but then plus around about 2.5 million from the convertible, which changed from liability into equity. And then we had another capital increase in summer 2017, which increased the equity around about by 400K. So at least I feel pretty comfortable with the balance sheet, how it looks now. And this brings us to an equity ratio compared to the balance sum of 40.2%, as in prior year we had 39.5%, so an increase of 0.7%. And this is always good when you talk to banks, even if you don't need it, but it's a clear sign if the company is in good shape or not. And I think we are. Some other things, employees, we increased from 228 to 258. This is a plus of 30 employees, mainly in our facility in Cluj in Romania. And this is also result because we are close to finalize the transfer of the production from Netherlands to Cluj in Romania. So production mainly will happen then in Romania because it's very easy. Production costs are lower. And what is also very important, we are very okay on the quality, not only we, the management, but also customers who visit the plant and gave us best rating on that. So the local management includes everything to bring this company and the service and products they deliver really in a pole position. The backlog increased from 16.8 to 18.6, at least that's food for 4 months' revenue. Yeah, and we always look that we have a stable number on that, because that's the future revenue, of course. Earnings per share also increased from diluted and undiluted, it's the same figure, from minus 0.58 euro to minus 0.23 euros, and this figure, of course, for shareholders becomes more and more important. That's it on gross margin, results, and balance sheet, and some other information, and with this I may hand back to Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerhard. So, getting again to the outlook for 2018. Yeah, it was good to see that we were able to generate growth and significant growth in all our core markets throughout 2017 and drive the company beyond the break-even point here on an operational level, which is, as mentioned, for the fuel cell industry, a first-timer here on a worldwide level. This naturally makes the team here proud, but there is no room and no reason for arrogance and no time to rest on our laurels. I guess it's rather more a source of inspiration to get to the next steps. And looking into 2018, and we are today at the last working day, especially here in Germany now, for the first quarter, we are feeling very positive about the current year. In particular, the growth we are forecasting here is driven by higher investments on the customer front here in defense and security, nationally and internationally. We see a drive here for the off-grid energy solutions here on an industrial level, and we are seeing a robust continued growth here also with a significant backlog here for the industrial power electronics. As mentioned before, in oil and gas, there is a relative stability now in the oil price, also from a political level here, seeing now the pairing again, the U.S. and Saudi interests pair against players like Iran, which could clearly lead to a reduction of quotas for Iran again and therefore reduce the supply. We also see the country with the largest oil reserves in the world, Venezuela, due to their political challenges, producing at 50% of the agreed quota. Naturally, the big threat here is the swing volume here in the U.S. The U.S. are on a good way to even become the biggest producer for Russia here in 2018. But overall, the levels we see the oil right now and what we hear and read from industry experts and market experts leaves us with a level of comfort here to say that this momentum is, at least for the foreseeable future, to be continued. And backlog, Gerhard mentioned this already, we started the year with a solid backlog. And also, the dynamic of the last fiscal year we saw continuing in the first 3 months here, and therefore 60 to 64 million in revenue is what we feel the right range, and at the same time is making the next important step to sustainable profitability here as a group. Just for completeness sake, we are basing all our oil and gas revenues, all our oil and gas business here that is handled in Canadian dollar on an exchange rate of 1.5 to the euro. Overall, a positive outlook, a good momentum in the first 3 months too. And with this, I would like to conclude our presentation here. Thank you very much for your attention, and we will be happy after handing over to Judith to get your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we will begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. The first question is from Malte Schaumann, Warburg Research. Your line is now open.
Good morning.
Hi.
My first question is regarding your 2018 guidance. Maybe you can share with us your what do you see as the greatest risk to your guidance, and then on the other hand, what is the greatest or the highest opportunities we potentially could exceed your guidance, so to get a better feeling for the individual moving parts you're facing?
I would say, and this is Peter. Good morning, Malte. The largest risk, as mentioned before, is naturally the assumption here on the oil price. We feel significantly safer in the other segments, including defense and security, with, I'd say, an order backlog that we brought into the year and shipments that have happened already in first quarter. So if you want to reduce it back, that's the highest risk, or that's the most important risk factor. If for whatever reason, with, let's say, some political instability here, maybe driven out of the U.S. or in a confrontational situation here between China and the U.S., this is definitely a risk that we have to keep in our back of our heads. And if I say the second risk here is definitely also allotment of financial means, allotment of budget here on a German level to our defense programs. As we know, we have now a government in place for barely 2 weeks. They are now trying, and the new finance minister, I think, has the challenge now to put the federal budget together as soon as they can, and then this trickles down into the ministries. And with this, we feel there will be, I'd say, no awards coming at least before the summer break, which simply is the learning curve that we also saw in other election years. And this year we are even later because the government was not in place until mid, or was just in place mid of March. So those are two factors that we have to take into account. I think the latter one is to a big extent covered by the contract that we secured end of last year, and as mentioned before, products were shipped in the last weeks.
And not to forget, we're also working on this framework contract. I think we mentioned this in one of the last calls with our national defense organization, and we're already active, negotiated overheads and prices, and this starts now. Yeah.
Do you have, can you share your expectations regarding the time frame, how long negotiations might take until you might come to a conclusion?
I think now from a technical point of view, we are through. We have picked this. We went through the cost and pricing review already this year. We completed this in March. And then the next step is really decision making based on the military demand that is there and that is documented. And this is triggered by budget being released. And that's the triggering factor. And we would be pretty surprised if this is happening before summertime. Why does this not concern us too much? Because we already brought especially on the German level, a contract over from last year where we just signed also an extension to the existing contract, which gives us also more flexibility here in terms of using this contract throughout the year.
Okay.
So it's really the budgeting question that there will be a federal budget being released before summertime here on a overall national level. I think we are all concurring on this because we were already somehow disappointed with the long duration of formation of the government. I think they tried to catch up right now from this point of view. And if we wanna see, let's say, a risk factor in addition, definitely it's the exchange rate between euro and Canadian dollar. Right now we are rather at the level of 1.6 or 1.5 1.6 to 1.59 instead of our budget at 1.5. But as we saw this in previous years, the business locally is fully hedged in currency terms. There's a natural hedge, but it doesn't make sense to hedge the results here that we have to consolidate.
But at least we will have an impact because the exchange rate for quarter one will already be 1.555. That was my calculation from yesterday eve. And of course this will have this is 4-5%, and then it has an impact of 2% on the group.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not only talking risk, talking opportunities, very clear. If we now see that we are carrying over a backlog, as we mentioned before, not only on defense but also on the industrial part of the business, and we see the momentum in Q1 where overall, also with the shipment here to the German Army, we are ahead of our plan. Growth momentum is in all core segments here the upside. And going more granular, on the defense side, it's this balance that we achieved to establish here between national and international programs. On the international front, we just published a week ago a new contract here in India. Everything shipped partially in Q4, but then the final part shipped in Q1. There are new tenders out there where we have no reason to believe that we cannot continue. Our ongoing and repeat customer, Israel, we have very positive signs on the performance of the product. So, and on the industrial part of the business here, as I said, power electronics, a few significant new customer projects in the pipeline where we expect at least one or two to materialize, and we are talking here about north of a million euro in contract value. And for the fuel cell part in the industrial segment, also there are some significant projects, but even more important, a consistent demand here from our core partners, Europe. We also see, I'd say, Singapore accelerating, and we just recently had a nice order in here for the first volume order for our EFOY Pro 12,000, the 500-watt system, one from Singapore and one from Japan. So the upside is clearly on the growth end. Product mix, Gerhard mentioned this before, the higher the industrial and the defense portion in the revenue is, we will see again there the impact on the margins, on especially on the gross margin.
Okay. And with respect to the industrial fuel cell business in terms of growth over the coming years, if you look at your pipeline, what do you expect in terms of potential unit growth between 10 and 20% over the next 2 to 3 years? Is that a reasonable assumption?
Well, I think we are rather at the upper end, yeah. At the upper end of your range.
Yeah, 10%.
10% would be disappointing, to say it clearly.
Yeah. And again, on the defense business. Do you expect that such a framework contract might be concluded by the end of this year, or will that only take place next year?
Yeah, you're really asking here the tough question. Yeah, after all the learning curve we have taken here with our national defense customer and with the organization there, what I can say is I think we have all the preconditions and all the boxes being ticked right now. We know from the military side that the demand is clearly defined here over the next couple of years, and we reiterated our willingness to serve as, I'd say, a test bed here for such a frame contract, because that has a big advantage for both parties. You don't have to start the whole bureaucratic machinery for relatively low volume orders in terms of the perspective of the Ministry of Defense. And at the same time, the technical specifications are agreed upon. So it has a real value for both, because at the end of the day, you know what is the minimum and the maximum volume you need to be able to ship. And then you're working on a sliding timescale here towards the end. So it is clearly one of the priority tasks here, together with our colleague Marcus Binder and his team, to get this frame contract here in place, because this gives visibility and stability. It gives you a baseline business on defense that drives profitability and well, can lead to a step change in profitability.
And of course, there's a big advantage on the supply chain where we have to buy our products. Means the parts which we are working on. This is really helpful and helps us also to negotiate better conditions with suppliers.
Yeah, and do you think that a follow-up order might be within that framework contract, or might also be independent if framework conclusion?
But the good thing is we have an existing contract vehicle in place, and as mentioned before, we just have prolonged this here for an option to be used for this fiscal year. So this gives us the safety that we have a contract vehicle in place for the remaining of 2018 and in parallel have time to work on the frame contract.
Yeah, okay, good. With respect to your guidance, how much of your sales estimate is or guidance is belongs to the defense part of your business? So what is the defense budget which is included in your guidance?
Well, we are naturally, let's say, significantly scaling this, and we are talking here in an order of magnitude of 13 to 15%.
Yeah, yeah, which would almost be a doubling in sales.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Walter.
The next question is from Carsten von Blumenthal, First Berlin Equity Research. Your line is now open.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Gerhard. My first question would be regarding your guidance. You guide for clear growth and for significant improved EBITDA and clearly improved EBIT. I see the growth clearly ahead. I'm pretty sure you will manage that. You are rather cautious on exact EBITDA and EBIT figures. You could have given a range there that would have helped markets, I think. So my question is, why are you rather unspecific regarding EBITDA and EBIT?
Good morning, Carsten. To answer this, at least we stick to the format we also had in prior years, where we just mentioned or said where we want to end up, improvement or not. Yeah? And now we took the hurdle, and therefore we wanted to avoid to put us under too much pressure on that. Yeah? That gives more room. And whatever comes out, and of course we want to bring out the best what is possible. I just have the budget in front of me, but I think it's a little bit too early to communicate on that figures already now.
I think a certain cautiousness, this is Peter, is still something that we also had to learn in our capital markets communication, and not put all, I would even say, my optimism into all the numbers. I think with the Q1 result and the Q1 numbers, we will be able to narrow this down. This is a time frame here of, let's say, 5 weeks. In the meantime, what we see as also estimates in the market, this looks pretty realistic. And if we talk about the business growth, as said, really almost doubling the defense part and stay on the same growth path here for industrial and oil and gas, out of this product mix at the end comes a solid profitability. You give us a couple of weeks more time here, I think we can narrow this down in a much better way.
Thank you very much for that. regarding your balance sheet, you have quite some short-term financial liabilities now. And my question is, what are your plans there? I guess you might need a bit of working capital financing because you are growing strongly. So what is your time schedule regarding financing?
Thank you for this question. Of course, we always have to look on our cash plan, and we do this not on a group level. That makes no sense. We do this on individual companies. For Cymac and PBF, we are very good within our credit lines or our factoring lines. And of course, I always look, one of the first looks each day, not each day, but each week is when we discuss this, is on a cash plan, which reflects in the debts we have in our balance sheet. You see, and you mentioned, and you're absolutely right, the 5 million short-term liabilities, which are due, if I look in the contract, till end of 2018. But of course, we're talking with our lender and already started this. And I think we're already a little bit further than we can talk about it now because we haven't done our final discussion. But I'm pretty comfortable that we will not run into any problems on the cash side. Yeah. So this is in progress.
And we are assessing, I'd say, different options here with the change in performance, financial performance. We also have, I'd say, first time the opportunity to start discussing with commercial banks, and there is also, I'd say, a program here of the State Bank in Bavaria that helps, especially when you have business with A1 or AA or AAA customers like we have it with governments, to get a guarantee for part of the financing. So this is one of the topics really on our agenda right now to make sure that we latest in Q2 we want to have, let's say, either a solution here in terms of a new financing or change terms on existing financing. In a best case, we want to get this done even before the AGM.
Yeah.
All right.
That's definitely a target to get it done within the next 6 weeks.
Well, that is quick. That is very good and appreciated. Thanks for that. If I look into your cash flow statement, I see a positive operating and even a positive free cash flow despite the net loss. So that is a very good result. And I expect for 2018 you may need higher working capital. Do you think you can, even despite that, you may even repeat a positive free cash flow in 2018? What are your plans there?
Yeah, the plan is to have a positive cash flow, because if we have the results, our amortization, depreciation is not so high as we had it in the past. And of course, there's a clear sign once you have this positive cash flow, that's a target, yeah. But we look at the moment. We look more on the daily cash plan we have, or let's say on the quarterly cash plan, even for the year. And we look on the P&L. These are the key indicators, KPIs. We're looking more on. So I always look on the cash plan. What is today, and how does it look till end of the year? So this is what we have in the focus, and of course the P&L.
All right, thanks for that. You already mentioned that Q1, which has virtually ended now, looks set to be quite good. You had a very good order inflow. You have orders from the defense business, which means high margin orders. So is it right to expect extraordinary strong Q1?
Yes.
That is the clear answer. Thanks for that.
But I have not yet made the figures, but I must agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that is also my impression, but it's worthwhile mentioning.
As mentioned before, we are ahead of our own growth plan here, which is a good start into the year, and this gives us the room to now focus on simply driving those projects I mentioned before be it in defense, be it in the industrial business, electronics, fuel cells, to simply make sure we build up not only for the second half of the year, but already then for 2019 here, project pipeline and backlog. I think that's the change. If we compare this to whatever 12 and 18 months ago, we didn't have this luxury to already operate in a proactive way and going beyond the next quarter. We are right now pretty good in our visibility for the next two quarters, and we are, as we say, working on orders that are important for the year end of 2018 as well as the start of 2019. This is also, I think, a step change here for the organization.
Yeah, I agree, and you already said that you were a bit ahead of plan for Q1, so looking pretty much forward to the Q1 figures. You mentioned that you have a new segment structure. This is very well presented in your annual report, and I think after thinking through it, I think that's a very favorable structure for you and also for the markets, because now this double counting of companies and segments stops, because now you have a segment which is basically PBF, where you have a segment CMARC, which is oil and gas, and you have a defense segment, which makes sense because this is a very strong growing business and looks set to generate relevant revenues and earnings. I have one question regarding your former consumer segment, which is now in the industry and consumer business. You now call it, I think, mobility and clean energy.
Clean energy and mobility, yeah.
Exactly. Well, this is, of course, favorite because this segment was always very, very small, and now you can integrate it into a larger segment. You mentioned that the end consumer business, your leisure business, is still facing problems because of changing demand of the customers. But you also mentioned that the APU, the auxiliary power units for vehicles, is a promising future business. So what do you have to do there? Do you have to find new customers? Do you also have to change the product to get ahead in this area? Could you elaborate on that?
Well, first on the structure, I think we also took the feedback from you and your colleagues here in terms of transparency, especially on our formerly biggest segment here, security industry. I think there were only a few experts out there really knowing what this whole thing contains, so we are getting transparency here, and at the same time we are reflecting also management structure here. So that's also important here from an operational and an auditor's perspective. And talking about APUs, clean APUs for vehicles, this goes really beyond our existing caravanning and marine business. We are talking here about, let's say, fleet vehicles. We are talking here naturally about products that need to be, let's say, next generation products. We kicked off the moment we could see that we could afford it back in 2017. We kicked off our biggest R&D program here for a next generation of EFOY products, which we call 3.0, which is again now an exercise where we are targeting with, let's say, a basic concept on the product. We are targeting price sensitive, or we are intending to target price sensitive markets like end consumers, caravanning being one of it. And then with the high performance product, we are targeting then more challenging markets, and that can go actually to a point that those APUs also can be used as charging units here for batteries that are used again in EVs. So means product, yes, kicked off. And at the same time, customers, yeah, we need to talk to new customer groups here. But if we look back 5 years, there was this first wave of e-mobility, and we saw that this was more a communication topic than a real sustainable development in the industry. But some countries are driving this, and foremost here China is driving this. There's a stringent legislation being implemented as of beginning of 2019, and car companies have to adhere to it. So there is now a regulatory drive for clean mobility, and at the same time there is naturally a much bigger drive here and demand here from a consumer front. So that's why we want to capitalize on our 10 years of experience of commercial APUs in vehicles, civilian and defense, and expand here into other APU markets. And again, not to create a false and wrong impression here, our DMFC is not going to be the main engine for such a vehicle. We are talking about secondary power draws, secondary parasitic draws from heating to conditioning a battery to cooling, and that's, I think, a broad field where there's enough space and perspective, again, for this category and application that we have been building up in the caravanning successfully.
Yeah, this strategy makes absolute sense to me, and looking forward to see how the products will hit the market. That have been all my questions. Thank you both very much. And bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Carsten.
If there are no further questions, I would like to hand back to you, gentlemen.
Well, thank you very much, Judith. Again, everybody, thanks for your time, your attention to what we do here, and your trust in us. And as always, we are available for bilateral calls. Don't hesitate to get back to us. With this, I would like to conclude here, and thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.